Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. It's been a little while since our last podcast, so if you're still out there listening, we are glad you're with us. A couple things to keep in mind as we get started here, since we are all a little rusty. Remind yourselves that this is a grown-up podcast for grown-ups. We like salty language.
Fuck.
And Jesus as well.
Love ya.
But sometimes people think that, you know, like, oh, hey, it's a Jesus-y podcast. I'll listen to it with the kiddos. No, earmuffs. Nope.
I don't, does anybody actually think that?
No. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that think that.
I don't think anybody admits to listening to this.
I don't think anybody that's still for sure listening by yourself. To this yeah, okay. does this as a group thing. But we are Catholic. You don't have to be. Make sure that you are in a positive state of mind and ready for another church drunk. I don't know if I'm telling you that.
Ready for a big drop.
Or if I'm telling myself
you know,
that.
It's always a good idea to be in a positive state of mind.
Yeah.
It's a new rule for us.
So I'm Guess here with Diz. She's already made her presence known. And the question that we always start with is, dear Dizzy, what are you drinking?
Oh, dear Guess, I am sipping on a vodka-based cocktail. There's lots of tinkly ice cubes.
Yes.
A generous pour of vodka with some Waterloo watermelon.
Waterloo?
Fizzy water, which is just all the rage these days. So yeah. Whatever fizzy water with a flavor you would like,
right.
I chose watermelon. And a generous squeeze of lime, which is how I like all of my vodka-based drinks
there you go.
To finish.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm having a high life because damn it, I can.
Well, cheers to that in December and back to church drunking.
Indeed. It is summertime, and technically, this is our tweener episode. So we
bonus.
Tend to work in episodes, or seasons of nine, and then we add in a bonus. And so before we really jump into our full-on summer season.
Summer sesh.
We're just kind of, you know, giving a little bonus and throwing
yeah.
those folks a bone.
We miss you guys. Want to say
that
hi.
That are just desperate for more church drunk.
again, yes.
Again, hi, Mom.
no, nobody is allowed to tell our moms.
Yeah, please don't tell my mom. So we were thinking about, it's the very beginning of summertime.
Yeah.
You know, like technically it's not even summer yet. The season has not started.
I was waiting for that science nerdism of yours.
Such a science nerd.
Okay, so when is actual summer?
I don't even know. Yeah, no.
I'm
not a big tracker of the seasons like that. I just know
like,
it hasn't started yet.
It's always like the 21st or 22nd.
I think it's
right? like June 21 or 22.
June 21st. Let's go with June 21st.
I'm sciencing you right now. Is it science?
I don't know.
It's like astrology.
I feel like you have to be
God
a farmer to know what the first day
anyway,
of summer actually
it's
is.
It's not a church season, so who gives a fuck? We're still in ordinary time, and it takes a long-ass time to go through ordinary time.
Yes.
You're, like, not even in the smack middle.
Oh, yeah, no, like, ordinary time has really just begun.
It just began.
Yeah. So it is not yet summer. It is yet ordinary time.
Yep.
And we are going to have a whole summer season coming
yes.
up before too long.
So much to celebrate in the summer.
But for now, it's our bonus episode, and so we thought it might be kind of nice to do a few things. Number
mm-hmm.
one, June represents the mid-year of
sure.
the calendar year, and so we were going to revisit our New Year's
yes,
resolutions.
Yes, remember those.
Yes. Don't actually remember those that well.
We had to do a little rewind
we
to
did.
Remind ourselves. Although, actually, we remembered a little bit. So
yeah.
back in the Feast of the Epiphany, January 6-ish, we talked about we had goals for ourselves and a goal from other church because we think our vote counts.
Right, yes.
It doesn't.
We actually had to, like, commit the church drunk cardinal sin of listening to our own damn podcast.
It was awful.
To figure out what we had said were our resolutions for ourselves. Actually, we remembered our own.
Yes.
The ones for the church we were a little more, like, foggy on.
But they came right back
oh,
when we
they
heard
sure
them.
Did.
Okay, so let's see. What was your goal for yourself?
My New Year's resolution for myself was to read more theology.
Okay.
Read a theological work that would be, you know, something that's not just kind of, you know, like, oh, this is a thing that makes me think. It's more like this
yeah.
is an actual, like,
staying
word of theology.
In the game. Working for you, drunk listeners.
Yeah, totally. Professional development for my podcasting
wow.
career. And I would say that I've failed miserably thus far.
Oh, no. Well, it's okay. You're only halfway through.
I know. Exactly. Okay. So I think I said that I wanted to read something by Pope Francis, which we both delved into the newest encyclical. Was it an encyclical or an exhortation?
It was an exhortation. Gaudete et exultate.
Right. And so we did read a little of Pope Francis, each of us, and that was good. And that was a work of theology. So there's a little something. And on top of that, I did also read Tattoos on the Heart by Father Greg Boyle.
Oh, nice.
Which everybody was always shocked to hear that I had not yet read that. And it was wonderful. It's not necessarily like a dense work of theology. He certainly bridges the gap to make it accessible to like anybody that wants to read it. But he does work in. He weaves in little bits of real theology to it. And I really enjoyed reading it. I enjoyed that facet of it. But I have not yet picked up that, you know, like medieval work of dense theological.
No John of the Cross for you.
Yeah, nothing quite like that. I'm thinking maybe Carl Rahner is calling my name for a bit of theology, maybe over the summertime.
Yeah. I think you would really enjoy that.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, those are good goals, and you have time. Don't worry.
There's time. We're halfway there. It's actually really good that we're checking in about this so that we don't both fail miserably.
I know. We would have forgotten entirely if we waited until next,
we totally
you
would
know,
have.
January.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, what was your resolution?
Similar to you, I did not specify theology, but I said like books of substance.
Right.
Like, you know, I had this habit, I still have it, of just like listening to like whatever is available audiobook wise.
Yeah.
And it's taking me down some random and not really mind enriching avenues. So I wanted to be a little more intentional. And like I kind of, it was sort of a cheat because in Lent I knew I was going to read The Desert Fathers by Nouwen. So, like, that kind of was, like, a cheat. Like, I got my goal done. So, I don't know if we can really count that.
I mean, it counts.
But I had recently, and I think I passed it on to you, and I'm hoping we'll both read it, but I'd read a couple chapters of God's Mechanics by Brother Guy Consolmagno, who's the current head of the Vatican Observatory.
Right.
And just kind of like Greg Boyle, it's a very accessible book, but he's got some real theology in there.
Yeah.
So I was pretty happy to kind of preview that. And what else am I going to read? I got to pick something else. Actually, I had bought The Interior Castle to give to someone, read a little bit, and thought, I don't think this is for them. I think this is for me.
There you go. Oh, that's a
so I've got one. It to delve into. So I'm going to do that this summer.
Yeah. I read that one in Spain because I'm that kind of nerd. I like to read things where they're written.
You know, guest loves a theme. If nothing else, let there be a theme.
Oh, good
I like
times.
That. I like that.
Good
All
times.
Right.
So what we found out here is that we are both like half-assed cheaters when it comes to New Year's resolutions.
I think everybody knows by now that if we plan it, it's
as
not
is
cheating.
Mother Church, because I feel like that applies to what we were hoping for the church as well. Because we came up with a New Year's resolution for ourselves and one for the church. Yours was
I wanted Pope Francis to keep going in the right direction.
Yes.
And which is the direction, I feel like the direction he had been going. Like, I wanted him to continue on a good path.
And for the church to kind of follow the leader a little bit more.
And it's, and I don't know that we can report back yet. I feel like the state is much the same. New topics have arisen.
Yeah.
We hear good things from him. We hear not always the best. But I do think he's making a bit of progress with the whole issue, which you had as your goal. Do you want to say your goal?
Yes. My New Year's resolution for the church was stop buggering boys. Stop getting all up in the altar boys and stuff.
Yes. Or any boys, really.
Any boy. Yeah. Just stop abusing children.
And covering it up horribly. And so Pope Francis actually had taken kind of a good step in South America and Argentina, in his home country of just taking that abuse scandal in there because it's all over the fucking world taking that head on, and actually all the cardinals gave him
I think it was Chile actually
it was Chile all of the bishops
of Chile like resigned
they gave
post.
Him their the option of deciding for them
which I still like I read a couple of articles about it and I still couldn't quite wrap my brain around what was going on. I think in part because
most people, like people that were writing the articles, were like, what the hell is going on?
What does this mean?
You know, like, are they, and I never found anything about the resolution. I should follow up with that to be like,
I think it's how many still of them were removed.
And yeah, it's probably still under review.
But at least it was a motion toward like transparency and owning the problem.
And it was headlines for the right reasons, kind of, I guess, question mark, because it was like there was this movement towards, if we need to get people out, let's get them out. At least that's the way that I read it. And they all opened themselves up to that. And
a humility about it. So we'll see.
So we shall see. To be determined when it comes to the church and the buggering of the boys and the girls. And
really anybody. Anybody that's want to be buggered.
Yeah. So that was our New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of looking back. But we also wanted to be looking ahead as we start out summertime.
It's a delightful season.
It is. It's a nice season, especially for anybody who lives their life on some sort of school calendar for one reason or another. For parents, you know, like it can be a little bit harrowing to have the kids at home. For kids, obviously, it's very exciting. Like, throw your books up in the air. For teachers, it's exciting. Throw your books up in the air. For people. And there are, you know, we have found...
And just the days are longer.
Yes. That a lot of times that, you know, it's even if you don't have a job that is specific to a school, you still kind of, you know, like, there's a different vibe to summertime.
Good vibe.
Yeah. So we are going to be looking ahead in this season that's upcoming at, you know, things to do during summer. But before we really got there, we wanted to come up with our church drunk summer drinking list.
Yes, a summer drinking list. And so on my list, at the top of my list was my favorite summer drink just to go to if you're looking for a hard alcohol, I feel, is a gin and lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
Lemonade for summer, gin because it goes great with it.
Yes.
Little flavor.
And I'm
from the juniper berry. It's
from
green.
The juniper berry, yes, yes. I am of the gin and tonic persuasion myself.
Delicious.
And I know you love a good gin and tonic
as well.
Gin and lemonade is that's what they call in the biz a porch pounder.
Oh,
you can sit on your back porch and just hammer those down. Gin and tonic to me is a little different because it's like I was telling you this earlier. When you get a really good gin and tonic, and I'm talking about like I was in a bar in this fancy like hotel, and they bring it to you with your gin poured and your tonic in a fancy little bottle next to it, so you can tonic your own gin.
Sure.
Right? And that's like that's not a tonic that's coming from the well. There's no gun shooting that tonic into your cocktail, right?
It's really nice.
And it was like they bring it out to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like I feel like I am in, you know, some sort of imperial time. Like
you're on the veranda,
I'm wearing
not
a
the
linen
porch.
Suit and a fedora, and I am, like enjoying this. Well, there are, you know, like, I won't say slaves, but servants, but
certainly
they were probably slaves. Yeah, you know, like it harkens back to a time that was awful, and yet at the same time, I'm like, but there was some class about like the gin and tonic that comes to you at that point.
Okay, yeah. There was a class about the gin and tonic
about,
and the whole tableau except for the slaves.
If you take out the slaves, it's like, wow.
Right.
Yeah. But that is when, as soon as the summertime weather arrives and it's warm outside, I want a nice classic gin and tonic.
Well, at least we agree that gin is the way to go.
Yeah.
And not everybody loves gin. As much as I like a vodka drink, I feel like gin has enough like flavor and kind of a little oomph to it, you know?
And there's
holds up on the heat.
Right. Not everybody loves a gin with its various botanicals. So substitute vodka. That's an easy swap out. You had a wine, right? We're going to explore cocktails as well as favorite beers and wines for the season.
And I think a nice dry, properly dry rosé in the summer months is really delightful.
Yeah.
I don't think you can beat that for like accompanying your dinner when you're eating outside. Like a really good rosé, usually a rosé of Pinot Noir,
right?
And it's not going to be sweet.
Yep.
If you're afraid of the word rosé, I assure you,
it's time
go
to
find a nice dry rosé.
The stigma from pink wine,
right? So good, So I love that.
And you're starting to see a lot more really good rosés popping up. It's been a few years now where I feel like rosé has been socially acceptable. Whereas like previous to that, like I would say right around
the
time
stigma.
When I was starting to like drink, you know, like pink wine was like White Zinfandel, you know? Like, you don't drink that. That's
came out of a box.
Right, exactly. And that's not just because I was, you know, like a new drinker. Like, that's just kind of what, like, it was not really done. But now people are knocking out some really good rosés. Get a dry one, as you said.
Yeah.
Chill it.
Yes, chilled.
Porch Pounder.
Another Porch Pounder. You know, Diz wants the Porch Pounder, and Guest wants the Veranda Sipper.
Veranda Sipper, yes.
Well, what's up? What about you? What's next on your list?
So, from wine, we're going to go to beer, and I would recommend for the summer season some gozas, which are another thing
so good
that we're starting to see more and more of. If you have never heard
that,
it's G-O-S-E. That. Some folks would say goes, some folks would say goza. Say whatever works for you.
Yeah.
If you do not know where to go, like, go to your local sour beer purveyor. Sounds strange, says you. Like, a sour beer? Why would you do that? Well, people that are doing sour beers intentionally, they're knocking out some good stuff right now. Yeah. And the Goza, I know that Sierra Nevada makes a Goza called Otravez, which is a good one that is, like, pretty easy. A Goza is, like, not super, super sour. It's a little bit salty, so it's like a salty, sour beer, and it's quite tasty. Again, chill it. Drink it very cold on a hot day. It goes great with all kinds of stuff or just by itself.
And that's one of the ones that a lot of times lends itself to various flavors, so you'll see some interesting combos out there. So don't be afraid. Go try a weird a weird Goza.
I know another one that's distributed fairly widely is the Anderson Valley Goza, the classic one that they do. They've got one that they've got some, like, they've got a blood orange one and a
melon
watermelon one, but their classic is called the Kimmy the Yink and the Holy Goza, which I feel like is, you know, It's a church drunk at heart kind of beverage.
That one might need to show up again later this summer.
Yeah, when you got the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the Kimmy, the Yink, and the Holy Ghost.
Hey, there you go.
So, Goza is our go-to summer beer. Rosé is our go-to summer wine.
Yep.
We like gin in our cocktails, gin and lemonade, gin and tonic. I did look up a fancy cocktail earlier.
Yes, I want to hear about your fancy cocktail.
And it's called the Maria Sin Sangre, as in, like, a Bloody Mary, but without the bloody.
Just a Mary?
So here's what it is. And this is something it's literally a book called, like, The Craft Cocktail. Like, this is a pinky finger up kind of a drink, you know.
On the veranda, here we go again.
Tomatoes and basil, and you muddle it, all right? Sure. So it's like a caprese kind of base. Then you add in a little bit of tequila blanco. You throw that in with a little bit of simple syrup, and you kind of get, like, the tomato, the basil, the tequila going on. So it's like a tequila based, but harkens to Bloody Mary. But
it's good.
Yeah, it's a cocktail that sounds really tasty. So we will be trying that. I haven't even had a chance to make it yet. Just found it today, but go try it. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely be having one later on.
Like, our summer drinking list is really coming together here.
For sure, right?
Yeah. I can't wait to try that. The other one that I had for kind of not a fancy but a summery cocktail is a Pim's Cup.
Ah, the Pim's Cup.
The Pim's Cup. And I just like this because of all the garnishes, most likely. Yeah. But once again, it's a gin with stuff in it, right? Like, Pim's is actually a liqueur, I suppose, that you can buy.
Yeah.
Or... okay, so whatever. It's gin and then liqueur, fruit juices, spices, whatever they make. There's, like, Pim's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, a lot of them.
Yep.
But it's fun, I think, because you put in things like lemon and cucumber, and you could put in other garnishes if you'd like a good amount of them. And then it says, like, 7-Up or lemon lime or ginger ale. I personally go for, like, the natural ginger ale that's not, like, a super sugary ginger ale. Yeah. Or even fizzy water, I feel like you could do.
Right.
Because for me, like I said, the fun part is really the additions, the garnishes. So, like, lemon and cucumber are traditional, but I've seen it with berries and
there's some riffs on the Pim's Cup. And that's another one that is, you know, I feel like the Pim's Cup, as opposed to being like an imperial sort of thing, Pim's Cup is meant to be drank on your yacht, you know, like you are on the deck of the yacht and you're like, a Pim's Cup, please. Yes.
Yes.
And it's not a drink you make yourself. Somebody brings you a Pim's
Cup. It's a party drink. Yeah. I feel like Pim's Cup I have mostly enjoyed at parties where there's, like, a make-your-own bar that's very well stocked with the shit you put in your Pim's Cup.
Yeah. Like, if you walk into your local dive bar and order a Pim's Cup, you might get thrown out.
They're going to look
at you. Yeah, you're going to end up with a High Life.
There you go.
Here's a High Life. You're going to drink High Life and you're going to like it. Yeah. And you know what? I will.
Yep.
And that is
full circle.
That's the other thing, right? So Goza and, yeah, and rosés and Pimm's cups, these are all wonderful things to do during summer. But really, I found myself just a couple days ago, as summer was kind of kicking off, I was like, I just want a high life. And
well, hey, look at me. I'm just drinking vodka and lime with various things added in.
Vodka and fizzy water.
Whatever's open in the fridge.
And really, that is what, that's what summertime is. I was telling you, so we have this fancy craft cocktail book. And I opened it up to look. It's seasonal, so that's how you can tell that it's fancy. It goes like summer, fall, winter, spring. Never opened it to the summer section. Had it for like 2.5 years.
You don't
never
need help.
Looked. Yeah, like summertime is just like, this looks cold and this looks cold, so into the cup.
Here we go.
Yeah. Wow. So we've told you lots of fancy stuff to drink, but there's no guarantee that we'll actually be drinking it.
Tell us what you like to drink in the summer. You can email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com. Shout out to our friends in the Massachusetts area listening in. We want to know what you're drinking. And you can tweet us at churchdrunkpod or read about us on the blog. We're going to try to be a little bit better about updating this summer.
Summertime is a great time for blog writing. Yep. And coming up very soon, we are going to start our next season of Church Drunk. We'll give you guys a little preview with our first episode of the official new season, which this is not. This is our bonus. But it's going to be our Church Drunk book club. So we'll give you guys a reading
summer
list.
Summer reading list.
And we will go through it book by book. So it may be one where you may not want to read it like week by week. You may or read it. You don't read a podcast where you listen to it week by week. But you may want to like read the book and then listen to the episode about that or something like that. But we'll fill you in more on the details. If there's a book that you love and you think should be included on the Church Drunk Summer Reading List, send us an email, tweet us, whatever you got to do to let us know.
Let us know.
And we'll compile that list and hit you up with it on our next episode of the podcast, probably in just a couple weeks.
Yep. Happy summer bonus.
Summertime.
Cheers.
And that concludes the Church Drunk bonus episode, where we have our Church Drunk summer session, where happy hour...
Every hour.
Every hour. Starts at 8 and goes all day. All right, guys.
Peace.
We'll talk to you soon. Peace.